no symbolism whatsoever, except that it does mean we're getting towards the end. But yeah, this is week 60. All right, so we are in this story of Pilegesh B'Giv'ah, which we introduced talking about the relationship between this story and the Isle of Micha, the question of when it took place. And then last time we talked about what exactly a Pilegesh is, the nature of the concubine in Judaism, and the question of what does it say in our story? Is it just, well, this is what happened, she was a Pilegesh, or is it meant to indicate something about the participants? And we said that actually it may say something about the participants, because we suggested that, generally speaking, a woman might enter a Pilegesh relationship because there's a need for money. Whether you're talking about money for her, or whether you're talking about it's her father selling her, that's been a theme of this part of Shoftim. Going back to the story with Micha, the theme of what people will do for money, and the Levi who becomes a priest for Avodah Zarah, the tribe of Dan going to take the land from the people of Laish out of greed, not out of a desire to settle the land of Israel. So this could be another illustration of that, and also what we see from the father-in-law, which we already started talking about last week, the father-in-law's conduct for the sake, but maybe for the sake of money, where he's so happy to see and to welcome his not exactly son-in-law. I don't know what to call him. Son-out-in-law. I don't know.
We have the relationship.
Son-out-in-law.
Right. We're stuck. We don't have terms. Right. We don't have terms really for the relationships here. And we noted that last week when we said that they keep referring to the man as Isha, as though he's her husband. But you'll see in the story today, I expect, that he's not always referred to as her husband. It's a very odd thing. So what we saw in terms of the story from the beginning of Perek Yeted of chapter 19 was there was a falling out between the man and the Pilegesh. And again, there are no names here. We're just stuck with anonymity in this story, perhaps because they don't deserve any better, or perhaps because we're making a statement that anybody could descend to this in that era at any rate. But the story is that the Pilegesh leaves the house. We said that the term batizneh could refer to infidelity, but that's there are challenges with reading it that way within the verses themselves. We noted it could mean that she mocked him, or it could simply mean she left. And the Gemara in Gittin that suggested she left in response to her husband's rage. Her husband got angry, and she walked out. And we talked about the Gemara's criticism of the husband for becoming angry, and that was its own piece to this. So she goes to her father's house. 4 months later, the guy shows up. Right? We ask the question of why it took him 4 months to show up. Is he waiting her out, thinking she's going to come back? Is it because she had taken up with somebody else and he wants to see whether she's pregnant? We don't know. But 4 months later, he shows up at her father's house. She welcomes him in. And the father wants them to stay a while. And that was what we saw in Perek Yeted in chapter 19, sentence 4. He's so happy to see him, and he stays there for 3 days, and they eat, and they drink, and they eat, and they drink, and he stays there. And we already read the psukim. We read all the way to pasuk chet, to sentence 8. So we saw that at the end of 3 days, he's ready to go home. He gets up early in the morning, ready to leave, and the girl's father, in sentence 5, said, no, you should eat some more, and then you'll go. And after they get done with their meal, and they're eating, and they're drinking, he says, come on, stay a while, you'll feel better, it'll be good. And the guy gets up to leave, and his father-in-law, whatever you want to call him, says, no, you should stay. He nudges him a while, and finally he stays, and now it's day 5. And then the father-in-law again says, you know, you should eat. Wait till the day is getting along. Wait till the afternoon. And they eat. And that was the end of Pasuk Chet of sentence 8. And we talked about this. We talked about why the father wants them to stay. And we said it could be read benignly, that it highlights hospitality. Linking back to the previous story that also had hospitality, and the rest of the story here is going to have no hospitality. So this is kind of, you know, saying, well, at this point, people are still nice, but really, that doesn't fit the character of the story at all. This is a negative story with bad things happening.
The way you were talking a little bit of Mickey Lattes there, she invited him for one meal, And then she invited him, come stay another
right.
meal.
Right. But there, it's she because she's building up to something.
Exactly.
Well, so, here, we, yeah. he's not building up to anything that we can tell.
Okay, but we don't know.
Right. Well, we see what happens. We don't see what would have happened had you stayed longer. That's true. But there doesn't seem to be an end game, unless one of the other suggestions that we had, and maybe this fits with what you're saying, is that he wants to cement the relationship. His hope is spend more time there, get to know them more. You know, this is usually not what works out when relatives get together, but spend more time together, get to know them more, and now that will provide a good foundation for the future relationship, and maybe along those lines, you know, come to the party, come to another party. Could be. Yes, Ricky?
Structurally, as a story, this also works because you get into this nice, feely, touchy, nice, pleasant, polite, and then next, what would think that happens next looks a lot worse because of the juxtaposition.
So it's a contrast with what's coming next. Could be. Okay, so once you read ahead, you will understand what Ricky's talking about.
And he's a total guest, right? He's not like compensating.
Correct.
Right, because he was the son-in-law is very wealthy, right?
Right.
So
well, he's
not,
yeah.
Maybe or though there may be like bringing all those motives of, you know, social climbing, like whatever.
Yeah. Well, that was right. Father. That was something Malvin did suggest. The lady has great social standing, and therefore, you know, it sort of rubs off, you know, by having him in your house.
Say, oh, he was at my house first.
Right.
That's long.
He slept at this
right.
You know.
Right. Oh, maybe the girl
is
amazing.
Doesn't sound like how she is getting into the conversation.
Yeah.
But I mean, to me, a lot of it is simply greed. The father, you know, the father wants this all to work out. Or what were you going to say? Okay. So the other piece, though, that I did want you to see here, and this is going to be a major theme as we go through the rest of this story. You're going to see it in source one on your sheet, number four, and then again in number nine. Are linguistic links between this story and the story of Sidon. So already here, I gave you references in source number one. In sentence five and in sentence eight, they rose early in the morning. Lot says to the visitors to Sidon, stay with me overnight, and then in the morning, v'hishkam tem, you will rise early and you'll go.
But there's
a lot more to it.
No, but I'm just saying, like, isn't that used other times also?
Oh, yeah. Would that absolutely.
Not like a,
yeah, no, that in of itself,
like
all I saw...
Like you're just correlating.
If all I saw were that, I wouldn't think anything of it. The father-in-law says to him, Sa'ad libcha, twice. Sate your heart. Those visitors, when they were with Avraham, Avraham said to them, V'sa'adu libchem. Same turn of phrase. Vayiftsar is a key word here. The father-in-law, the verb for the father-in-law, when he presses for him to stay, is vayiftsar, which is the term that Lot used when he wanted the angels to stay in the house. And it's an unusual term, this term for persuasion. It's really a pushy persuasion. And the key word for me in this section, what he said to them in sentence 8, when he said, you should wait, v'hismah mehu ad netos hayom. That word, when you see that word, bells go off. That's a strange and unusual word, and it's used when the malachim are trying to get Lot out of Sidon, and Lot doesn't want to leave. He's stalling, and you get this shalshelet note on it. Right, the shalshelet that only appears four times in Chumash. Right, the law exactly. So one of them is on that vayismama, and all that, you know, the whole thing.
Exactly. The word,
right? Yes.
Within the song.
It's meant to connote that kind of stall.
Also,
means doubling.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's like a forceful doubling. It's like I'm not going anywhere. And that's what in this case, v'hismamahu, is what the father-in-law is saying. I think you should stall. I think you should wait here. So the same term shows up here. And again, you're going to see so many different associations that everybody is going to comment from Ramban to Malbim on the associations between this story itself. Well, the story itself, the plot is going to fit. But But that's...
It's also interesting because the whole thing with Lot and his daughters, and here you've got a woman who could be running from an abuser, like you don't know what she's being treated, and here Lot was like ready to give his daughter, you know, treating them poorly also. Right. So.
And it's going to get even more direct. Yes. So what you see here is already there is interesting language here that fits the stone story, and I think it's to point us to depending
society.
Yes, mm-hmm. And it's going to point us to the similarities that are going to explode shortly. So take a look at Pasuk Tet, sentence 9. We're going to read 9 to 12 here, and this is the last bit before it falls off a cliff. Vayakam ha'ish laleches. Guy gets up to go. It's now the afternoon of the third day. Who ufilag sho v'naharo. It's him, his concubine, and youth, servant that he has with him.
Oh, she gets to go with him now?
Yeah. Yes. She's now,
for her?
She's now there.
Vayomer, on the third day?
We don't have any indication. We don't know. They didn't get a chance to leave. No one hold her. No one asked her anything. Vayomer lo chosino avi anara. And his father-in-law, the girl's father, says to him, Hine na rafa hayom la'arov. You know, the day is already getting dark. Rafa is to be weak. It's a very interesting turn of phrase. Exactly, like Rafidim from Bashal.
It says they rose up, so that means it was early in the morning. So how is the day already?
No, it didn't say they rose up. It said they got up, as in they stood from the table. Yeah. If you read it with the previous Vayakam, right?
Because they had just look buried until the day.
Right, you have to read it with the previous sentence. The previous sentence ended by Yochlushnehem Vayakam. So they ate, and now they got up from the table and said, it's time to go.
I thought it was the next day. Okay.
Right. And the father-in-law says, Rafa yom larov. He says, the day is already weakening. It's already towards evening. Linu na, please rest, or rest now. Hine chanos hayom. He says, you know, you should really rest. You should camp here for the day. Linpo, stay here. V'yitav levavecha. And it will be good for your heart, a phrase he's used before. Vishkamtem bachar ledarkechem. And then tomorrow, get up early and go, v'halachtali ohalecha, and then you'll go back to your home. V'lo avaha ish lalun. Guy said, I've had enough. I'm not staying. V'yakam v'yelech. He got up and he went. V'yavo ad nochach yivus. He Yerushalayim, and he went in the direction of Yevus, which is Jerusalem. Now here you need to understand your directions for this. They're coming from... No, not for this. It doesn't cover this. But this is actually straightforward. They're coming from Beit Lechem. Beit Lechem is south of Yerushalayim. So you're going north towards Yerushalayim because you want to get ultimately home, which is Har Ephraim, which is north. So you're going from south to north. So they start towards Yerushalayim. Yevus is either an area within Yerushalayim or the name of the city itself. That's its own discussion, which doesn't matter for our purposes. I will note, though, that it is not Jewish controlled at this point, which is one of the reasons why it is argued that this occurs early in the period of the Shoftim. So,
well, they didn't have Yerushalayim yet, did they?
They didn't have Yerushalayim yet, but the question of what our position was relative to the Yebusi is an interesting one. But in any case, they are headed towards Yebus, which is Yerushalayim. V'imot semet chamorim, he has a pair of donkeys, chavushim, and they are loaded. Ufilag shoimo, and his pilegish is there with him. The reason we stress the pilegish is because of what's going to happen next.
Is this the first time that they actually called her the pilegish?
Oh no, you had it in Pasuk Tet, and his mind, and you had it earlier in the story.
When it says that Abihan and Ara, he calls her an Ara, according to the father.
Maybe the father, she's the Nara.
Yeah, she's a young woman.
No, it is true. I mean, you wouldn't say Aviha Pilagesh, because that would be odd.
It says Pilagsho v'Naharo, so does that mean, are there two women
there? No.
Naharo is the youth, the servant.
Naharo. Right.
Sorry. That's right. Haim im Yevus. So they get up to Yevus. V'hayom rad me'od. And the day has really descended, right? It's already almost sunset. Vayomer hanar el adonav, and the youth says to the master, Lachanav and Asura elir ha-Yevusi azos finalin ba. Let's go to the Yevusi city. Let's go sleep there. Vayomer Elav Adonav. Master says to him, Lo Nasur El Ir Nochri. I'm not going to an Ir Nochri. Ir Nochri, a non-Jewish city. Nochri can just mean foreigner, stranger, but here it very clearly means non-Jews, because of the next words. Asher lo mi b'nei Yisrael heina. They're not Jewish. Ve'avarinu ad Giva. I want to keep on going. I want to go to Giv'ah, which is already north of Yerushalayim, closer to home. That's where he wants to go. No, they live in Har Ephraim, which is further north. Okay, so we're paused there. What do you think of the preference here, the emphasis of, I want to stay in a Jewish town? Right?
All of a sudden, they're getting frunk.
Well, I don't know if it's frunk, guys. No. I don't think it's about that.
They've all been worshipping idols.
Yeah, I don't think that's what it's about.
He was worried, like maybe it was scary to stay. Maybe they were
morals. Yeah,
I think there's a safety issue. Yeah. These are family. We'll be safe among family. I think that's the straightforward reason. If you take a look at Malbim, in source number 2 on your sheet, he says, "He hus'at l'mashal olan basadeh." This is put forth, this statement of, you know, I'd rather go to a Jewish city, is meant to explain why he doesn't just stay out in the field. In other words, the sun is going down. You got to do something. So why doesn't he stay in the field? Hatza'a is an explanation. Hutza'a, this is being suggested.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Ki, Aleph, haya imot semer chamorim chavushim kol tuv. V'yarei milistim. First of all, he's got these loaded donkeys, right? And he's afraid of bandits. So that's why he won't stay in the field. That's one. Number two, Beis Mipnei Pilak Sho, because of his concubine. Shahishahi Rifat Hamezeg Lalun Basadeh. She is of too soft a constitution to stay in the field. She doesn't like camping.
He's suggesting that she would be in the field. They said go to the city.
So he's saying no. The first point is you could have just stayed in the field. And these explain why not. And then Vechein Mipnei Shnei Tamim Ela Lo Sara Leo Nachri. And for these two reasons, he also didn't go to the non-Jewish city, Mipnei Alistim, again because of thieves, Mipnei Ones Pilag Sho. And here I didn't translate the word because I wasn't sure what he was saying. Because of Ones of his concubine, the word Ones here could mean just like what he said in number 2, which is that that he has no choice because he has the concubine with him and he doesn't think that she would want to stay there. The other way, though, is the word ones means
rape.
And so he's afraid that she would be assaulted in that city, which fits with where the story is going.
That makes more sense.
But he very clearly does not want to stay out in the field. He didn't even offer that, right? And he doesn't want to go to this Ir Nochri, and Malbim has given me a couple of explanations for why he doesn't want to go to this Ir Nochri. Notice that it uses double language in sentence 12, right? Ir Nochri Asher Lo Me'arei Yisrael. So the simple read is it's meant to accentuate the lack of trust, right? I don't trust them. They are Nochrim. They're not Jews. No way. Malbim says it's not a Jewish city and it's not a city under Jewish control. Both aspects of it. However, in the next sentence, we find out that there's actually potentially another motivation involved. Take a look. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayomer Lenaro, he says to his youth, Lecha v'nikrava be'achad ha-mikomos. He says, let's go get close to one of the other places.
Sorry, where are you?
Oh, Yud Gimel. Yep. Vilanu ba'giv'ah o'barama, and we will stay in Giv'ah or in Ramah. One of these other places. Lanu is a tricky word. You notice there's a dagesh, a dot in the nun. Mm-hmm. It's because the nun is really a double nun. Velananu. Yeah. And we should be lan. Velananu, they end up being sandwiched into one letter.
But Giv'ah and Ramah are definitely names of places because Giv'ah is just hill and Ramah is a...
Correct. But no, there is a definite place. Sorry?
It's just north.
Yeah. Right. They're both just north, but Giv'ah is closer. Ramah is further away. Now, I have some thoughts on that, but I want to read Psukim Yudalit and Tetvav first, and then go from there. Or maybe even Tetzayin also. Let's see. You dalit.
Well, why would he say now Ramah when he wanted to go to Giba to begin with?
Good. So Roberta asks, who threw in Ramah? Giba was what you said before. So good. We're going to come back to that question.
Is that possible?
Maybe is Ramah closer?
Oh, Ramah's farther away.
No, Giba is closer than Ramah. Ramah is further. Yes, so we'll come back to that. Vayaru vayelechu. So they kept on going. Vatavo lahem hashemesh etzel ha-Giba. And the sun sets when they're already at Giba asher le-Binyamin, which is in Binyamin. Binyamin, remember, has the northern part of Yerushalayim in that area just north. So they're now in Binyamin territory. They cross the border. They're at Giba and the sun sets. You're not making it to Ramah. Vayasuru sham lavo lalun bakiva. So they vayasuru literally is they strayed there. They left their path to go stay in Giva. Vayavo vayeshev birachov hayir. And he sat in the plaza of the city, the main road. Ve'ein ish me'asef osam habaita lalun. We'll stop with that for now. And nobody is interested in hosting them.
No, there's no place to go, so you wait till somebody.
Nobody invites them in.
They don't knock on doors.
Well, that's right now what's happening, right? Is he's just he's just sitting there and nobody is Well, it is dark by then, but this is already where we're headed. You can start to see the contours of what's going to develop in this story. So looking at these psukim. First of all, a disaster is going to happen to them in Giva. Let's be very clear. I already pointed out when we introduced this story that Giva is Shaul's town, right? That's where Shaul is from. So I haven't seen anybody do anything with this, but it's so blatant that there has to be something going on. Let's stay in Giva or in Ramah, and they end up staying in Giva, and terrible things happen. Giva is Shaul's town.
Who lives? Shaul's much later.
Yeah. Who lives in Ramah?
Shmuel.
Shmuel HaRamati. Right? Mm-hmm. Shmuel lives in Ramah. And we already discussed the idea that this is some kind of a polemic against Shaul, right? We rejected it. But we had this idea that it's a polemic against Shaul. If you went to you went to Shaul's town and terrible things happened, you know, what if instead you had gone to Shmuel's town? You know, maybe things would have been different. It's safer to be with Shmuel than to be with Shaul. I don't know. I just feel like this can't be nothing. The fact that the two towns that are mentioned are Shmuel's town and Shaul's town, and Shaul's town brings disaster. There you go.
Yeah, but
I have something for one page anyway.
Shaul is still very young at this point.
Oh no, it's not. Shaul doesn't exist at this point. Shaul hasn't been born. This isn't that. But if you're going to view this as a statement about Shaul, then you have to also look at this and say, well, is this Shmuel reference?
And look at ancestors. Shaul, that's where he came from.
This is
okay.
History.
you're with everybody else right now. I'm
because
the only one who's making it.
If he was so bad, Shaul, coming from Giva, God wouldn't have picked him to be a king.
Okay. Fair. Right, so that's where I'm going is the addition of Ramah. I'm going to get there.
Oh, so people do pray on
it. Yeah, that we're going to come to.
This is history. It happened.
Yes.
And it happened years before Shaul and Shmuel.
Absolutely.
So couldn't it just be coincidence? I mean, it happened in this place.
Yes. Absolutely could be. But we have a general rule. Which is when you have something in, you know what it's like? You have paintings here, right? Painting. When something is in a photograph, you can't assume it's meaningful because it could be. You were taking a picture and it happened to be there. So if there's a picture and it has a sunset and three birds, you know, for all you know, the three birds happened to fly in as he was taking the picture. It wasn't that he intended to take a picture of three birds. If you're dealing with a painting, on the other hand, everything there is intentional. He made a decision to put that in there. And even if it was just a drop of paint fell from his paintbrush, but they turned it into something, there was a decision to turn it into something. So when I look in Tanakh, I'm forever going to ask, why did you choose to mention the cities? Not every line of dialogue between two people who exist in Tanakh is recorded in the Psukim.
Right, but, so, but it happened here in this place, so that's why this city is important now at this
right.
time.
Right, but mentioning that he said to them, give up or Rama, why do I need to know that? I mean, the answer may be what I'm about
because
to say.
Because of the area.
But
well, I mean, you can make it put it down on paper.
Shmuel is the one who writes it down.
So is that before Shaul altogether?
So we don't know when within his career Shmuel does it. We aren't given that information.
So Shmuel wrote all of Shoftim?
Yes, Shmuel is credited with all of Shoftim. Shmuel is credited with writing the whole thing Benevuah, as a prophecy. Yeah.
Oh, every what, sorry?
The whole, as a prophecy.
And Shoftim?
Yeah. Sorry.
Okay, I mean, like, when I travel, like, I can only relate it to me, but when I travel, like, you know, I say, okay, I'll go here, but maybe I can make it to there before
right.
Sunday.
So Nevi's point. Yeah.
You know, so...
But it's not from there.
Hang on. So Nevi's point is what Yechezkel Calvin...
No, when I'm traveling, when I do travel, I'm saying, like, you know...
You have your goal.
Yeah, but like, you know, maybe. It doesn't matter. Like, you know, okay, I'm not so tired, so I'll go a little further, or I'm too tired, and I'm going to stop here.
So let's take a look. Right. So let's take a look here at Calvin in source number 3, where he picks up on exactly that. He says... And this is the response to Roberta as well. Hanar eino miunyan lamaher habaita. The youth, right, he's a servant. He doesn't care about when they get back home. He just has chores when they get there. He just wants to rest. Abel ha'ish bahula shuv lebeisa. The man was in a rush. He's been trying to get home for 3 days. Hu kvar nizachar. He's already late. Right? Well, 5 days, but the first 3 days he wasn't pushed in.
Yeah.
So he says, "Milim Ela." These words, "Megalot Lanu Shehu Lo Rotzeh Lalun BeYavus," they show us he doesn't want to stay in Yavus. Lo Rak BeDeshu Ir Nochri. It's not just because it's a foreign city, and I don't want to be in a foreign city. And Elagam Ibnei Shehashemesh Olo Shaka. But the sun hasn't set yet. That's the other issue. The Epsher Olalechet Safona. So I can get further north, right? He's driving on the road, right? And they said, we're going to stop here. He says, you know what? I think we can make it a little further. We've all been on road trips. That's what you do. So that's really, the business about a non-Jewish city was not really necessarily his motivation as much as he wants to get further. He's giving any excuse he can to convince the family that it's okay to travel further and it's in their best interest to travel a little further.
And yet it's not mentioned for nothing.
What's not?
That Ir Nochrit.
Well, no, because it provides a good contrast for what's coming up, but I think that's exactly the point. And let's get to the next part, because otherwise all these references we're making are just confusing to people. I think that's a piece of this. So, along the way, we pick up what I gave you in number four, although the third line in number four is a mistake. The Vayif Tzar Bam shouldn't be there. It's not there in the pasuk. It's just a typo. But you find two links again to stone. You have it on your sheet.
This one here,
number four. From pasuk Tedvav, Vayasuru Sham. They turned aside there. Lot says to the Malachim in Sdom, Suruna el Beit Avdechem. Vayeshe Biracho Vayir, he sat in the city plaza. They said to Lot, when he said to them that you should come to my house, they said, Lot, keep Barachov Nalin. We're going to stay in the street. We're going to stay in the city plaza. So, along the way, we're seeing more of the language of Sodom show up. Again, we haven't seen the major part because the story hasn't even started yet. But you're starting to see those links. So, in a desire to avoid staying in this city, and perhaps in haste to get home, they stumble into a terrible situation, a stone situation, and they don't hear the screechy violin in the background warning them about what's about to happen. By the way, Kaufman gives you some geography. He thinks that that Giva is 5 kilometers north of Yerushalayim, and Rama is another 3 kilometers north.
Oh, wow. It's just in here.
Yeah, what do they have?
One is 4, Giva is 4, and Rama is 5.
Oh, okay. Don't know.
Yeah, from Jerusalem.
Right, so he has 5 and 8. I don't know where in Jerusalem they're measuring.
He has 9. Yeah. It must be miles versus kilometers.
No. Doubtful.
Okay.
Doubtful. Okay, so let's see what happens here. Pasuk Ted Zion, sentence 16. Hospitality. Vihine. Ish zakein ba min ma'aseyu min hasadeh ba'erev. an elderly man came from his work in the field in the evening. V'ha'ish mehar Ephraim. And this man was from Har Ephraim. So he's a landsman, right? You're from Har Ephraim, I'm from Har Ephraim. V'hu gar ba'giva. But he has been residing in Giv'ah. And again, the word gar, I use residing, it suggests that he's not a permanent resident. He's somebody who is living in Giv'ah right now. Although he has a field, or he works in the field, maybe it's not his field.
Well, originally he's from High Ephraim, now he's here.
No, but gar suggests temporary.
Are they saying that because he was good and the other people were bad?
Maybe.
And if he was there permanently, then what word would they use instead of gar?
Yashav. You could give any number of ways, but the word gar is a word we usually associate with Girut, to be a stranger. V'anshei makom b'nei yamini. And the locals were of Binyamin. He's from Har Ephraim. The locals are Binyamin. V'yisainav. So this elderly man picks up his eyes. V'yares ha'ish ha'oreach b'rechov ha'ir. And he sees the guest at the in the city plaza. V'yomer ha'ish ha'zakein. And the elderly man said, Ana selech u'me'ayin tavo. Where are you headed? Where are you coming from? V'yomer elav. He said to him, Ovrim anachnu mi'beis lechem Yehuda. We are traveling through. We're coming from Beit Lechem in Yehuda. We're going to the flanks of Har Ephraim. Misham Anochi, because that's where I'm from. Vayelecha Beit Lechem Yehuda. I traveled before all the way to Beit Lechem. V'yas Beis Hashem Ani Olech. Now I'm going to the house of God, meaning the Mishkan in Shiloh. V'ein Ish Ma'asefos Yabaita. And he says, some town you got here. Nobody is welcoming me in. And that's what he says. So v'gam teben v'gam mispo yesh lacham oreinu. And he says, you know, it's not like we're sponging off of somebody. We have fodder. We have straw. We have fodder for our donkeys. V'gam lechem v'yayin yeshli v'la'am asecha v'la'narim avadecha. And I have bread and wine for myself, for the maid, for the youth. I'm all covered. Ein machsor kol davar, we're missing nothing. So we don't want anything. Shelter would be nice. Vayomer ha'ish hazakein. So the elder says, Shalom lach, peace unto you. Rak kol machsor ha'alai. But anything you're missing, I'm going to take care of. I don't want you using your supplies. You take what I give you. Rak barachov al talan. Just don't stay in the street. It's not a good idea. Vayivyeyu leveso. Takes him home. Vayaval lachamorim, he provided yavul, he provided produce, or alternatively balal, a mixture of straw and whatever they give for feed for the donkeys. Vayirchatsu raglehem, they washed their feet. Vayochlu vayishtu, and they ate and drank. So the man takes care of the visitors. There's actually, I didn't note it on the sheet, but there's some Abraham language here as well. In, for example, Vayisainav, right? Abraham, when he saw the Malachim, he picked up his eyes and he saw. And then the other one was, washing your feet, right? Abraham emphasized Rachatsu Raglechem, to wash their feet as well. So there's that association. Sorry? Well, I mean, there is a midrash that that's why Abraham makes that a priority, is that they tend to worship, the Arabs tend to worship the dust of their feet, and therefore he wants them to get rid of it before it comes into the home. But this isn't the Shiur on Parshas Vayera, so I'm not going to go into what that's about. There's too much to say. It's a good topic, but not right now.
From Rome dust to just...
And that would be the simple read. And that would be the simple read.
Isn't that very typical in the Middle East? Places that they come in and they wash their feet.
Where else? I mean, it's a nice thing to offer.
It's a logical thing to do.
Kind of like Indians walking and taking
shit. Yeah, exactly. So that's the gentleman who's going to host them. What's odd here in this section when we describe this? There are some things here that require some explanation. Why are these in the picture?
Doesn't say anything about the woman or the.
Well, it acknowledges that she exists.
Why is he saying he's going to Shiloh when he went home? Or was he planning to stop there?
Right, so number one, who mentioned Shiloh at any point in this story?
It
he's not going
Shiloh.
To Shiloh. Shiloh is in Ephraim.
Ah, okay.
Shiloh is in Ephraim's territory, but we had no idea he was planning to go to the Mishkan.
Yeah, maybe he's like dropping it as like a God-fearing person.
Right, so maybe
Shiloh,
it's a way to...
bagel him.
Yeah, essentially, it's bageling, right? I'm an observant citizen. You can trust me because I'm going to the Mishkan. Because that works. So that could be. What else is odd here? We spend a lot of time on the status of this host. Right?
The what?
The status of this host, who he is. We now know he's elderly. He works in the field.
He's not.
Right? He's originally from Har Ephraim, and he's just hanging out in Givah.
What's
he
doing?
Like, does he have all this money? Is he also wealthy?
We don't know. Yeah, but that doesn't...
Doesn't say why he isn't in Har Ephraim, why he's there.
Right. Just to build him up as a nice person?
Another contrast.
Could be. So, Malbim suggests that we emphasize that he is a stranger to show, well, not just a stranger, but all these other aspects of him, to show that he's going out of his way. Take a look at source number 5, please. Malbim says, Kumosha Siper Gnus B'nei HaGivah, as it already told us about the people of Givah in a negative way, Shesagrud La Samla Oreach, that they closed their doors to a guest, Hagamsha Yumitoshabe Ha'ir, even though they're the residents, and therefore they're responsible for whoever is in their city. Velotzarla Mamakom, they had no lack of space, he assumes. Siper Sheva Chazakein Hazeh, in contrast, it gives you how good this guy is. Aleph, Imeoso Zakein, he's elderly. Beis Shabata Beregazu, he just got in from the field. Gimel Shabbin Maaseya Wakasheb Asadeh, he was doing hard labor. And Dalit Shaya Garbi Givah, and further, he was just a sojourner in Givah, below Hutla Alava Mitzvah Yosemi Tosha Beyair. He has no greater obligation. If the residents aren't going to do it, why should he? Becholzos, and yet he helped him. So it's trying to play up, you know, the favor that's being done.
Is he being compared to Lot?
I think so. Mm-hmm. Yes, I think so. And going back to Ricky's point before, we said before that the story of the father-in-law, you know, provides a contrast with the people of Givah. So now this elderly man is also providing contrast with the people of Givah, who we already see are not hospitable. And so that's a way to look at it. I will tell you right now, the house is going to come under attack. And I say it because Kaufman notes that's another aspect of saying that he's a stranger in the town. He has no allies. He has nobody to draw on. But yeah, I think a lot of it is, as Ruth said, it's another resemblance to Lot in Stone. Lot is an outsider who came to Stone. This man is an outsider who has come to give up.
No, but also that he was at a higher level than the people around him.
Yes, the fact that he's also showing himself to be greater, definitely part of that link as well. So the gentleman saw them, and he said, where are you from? Where are you going? And they gave him this answer, including, we're going to the Mishkan. We're going to the house of God in Shiloh. So Malbim says, it's more than bageling. Source number 6, he is worried. Ulval yachshov shume anshe micha obdei hapesel. If I tell them I'm from Har Ephraim, people know that Micha was there, the people who serve the idol. Shemicha haya b'Har Ephraim. Amar b'Esbeis Hashem ani olech. He said, I'm going to the house of God. Now, I should note the chronology. This assumes Micha's house is still functioning. Right? Either that this is happening when the Levi and the statue are still there, or that after Levi and the statue migrated north, Micha got some other statue and persisted. But that's Malbim's read. Malbim's take is that he's saying I'm going to the Mishkan to say I'm loyal to God. Radak offers a couple of other possibilities, linked actually a little bit. Source number 7. Bez Beis Hashem ani olech, I'm going to the house of God. Hu Shiloh, that's Shiloh. V'Shiloh ha'isairo, ki mehar Ephraim haya. Well, all we know is he's from Mount Ephraim. It could be he's actually from Shiloh.
Because that's on the bottom there, right?
So yeah, so maybe that's where he lived, and that's the right at the base of Har Ephraim. So it could be as innocent as that. He's saying Beis Hashem, just because if he says Shiloh, who knows Shiloh? But he says Beis Hashem. Oh yeah, that's the region. Okay. O Pirush Bez Beis Hashem Ani Holech. Alternatively, Av Al Pi Shiloh Haya Iro Shiloh Amar Ki Haya Holech Shamlit Palel O Lisbalach. He says, I'm going there in order to pray, or I'm going there in order to offer a sacrifice. The Amar Zek Kadeshi Asfeu Al Beiso Belev Tos, that the guy will treat him well. Right, along the lines of what we saw in Malbim. So he says to him, we have everything, right? I have, and he mentions, Amasecha, your mate, that's the Pilegesh, as well as Nar, the youth, Imavadecha, with your servant, that's himself. In other words, I am at your service. So there's one kind person in this town. He's a stranger, like Lot. He goes above and beyond. And then we get to the bottom falling out. Pasuk Chavveis. Hema metivim es libam. They were being of good heart. That phrase keeps coming up in this parak. The father-in-law offered it, right? You should have a good heart and all that. Pasuk Chavveis, and it's 22. V'hine anshei ha'ir, and then the people of the city, anshei b'nei b'lial. People who are evil. B'lial gets translated usually as evil. Literally, b'lial is a compound word. B'li Al, or Belial, either way, it means people of no value, people of no worth.
Without,
yeah.
What's Yal?
Yal, or Al, is to go up, to have something of value. They have no worth. They're people of no value.
I didn't know the Yal. Where is that word from, Yal?
From the root of Ayin Lamed also. Yeah. Like, the Hanar Yal Imechav would be an example of it, to go up. He will go up in that sense.
Sorry, you said Bli Erech.
No, Bli Al or Bli Yal, either way.
Sorry, I'm getting confused.
Okay.
That's okay, go ahead,
okay.
Sorry.
So, Nasabu es Habayis. They surround the house. Misdapkim al Hadalet. Misdapkim like Dofek. Knocking, perhaps banging on the door. Vayomru el ha'ish, they said to the man, Baal ha'bayis ha'zakein, this elderly man who owns this house, Leimor saying, Hotzeyes ha'ish asher ba'el beischa v'neida enu. Take out the man who has come to your house, and we will literally know him, but you know what this means.
But nobody saw him when he came into the city because
they did. They didn't welcome him in, right?
They didn't welcome him in, right? But
they were peeking behind.
They saw him. They saw him. Clearly, they did, because otherwise.
Exactly. Okay.
He didn't see them.
Right. You know, with loads, we have these midrashim that ask the question of how it is that people knew that they were there. We have Lot's wife going to ask for salt, right? Here you don't find that because in Lot's case, he said, come to me in secret. Suruna, right? Come to me in secret because it's dangerous. Here, he just pulled them in and brought, well, it's not daylight anymore because the sun's already set. But he did it in the open. So yeah, they knew that this had happened.
If they wanted to do something to the man, why didn't they just do it when he was out in the square? Or are they punishing him for the same, like,
because it's daytime, they're busy. It's night. Now there's nothing to do. Wi-Fi is down.
They texted everyone. Guess what?
Because they have manners.
They
wait for nightfall. Vayetzei aleihem ha'ish bala bayis. So the host of the house goes out to them. Vayomer aleihem, and he says to them, Al achai, al tareyuna. No, my brothers, don't do this terrible thing. Please don't. Acharei asher ba ha'ish hazeh el beisi. This man came to my house. Al ta'asu es hanavala hazos. Don't do this disgusting thing.
Does he know?
How did he know what
this
is?
This is typical? Like,
what do you think?
But then why didn't he say to them, don't stay in this town?
Right. Why not give them the warning to get out of
Don't
stay in this
town.
Heard about, don't about
stay.
Why say, this is a bad town. We know already, so don't bring it in. What kind of
because it's giving you a story.
No, but like,
it's telling you a story. This is what you
don't
tell a story.
Don't camp in the square and don't come to me, but get out and keep going.
Right.
Like, you don't
so he doesn't tell them that. So we have to come back to that idea. It may not be today. It may be next week, but we have to come back to that question. Right.
Okay. Maybe he thought it was safe.
So that's what we'll have to see.
They couldn't go any further.
Right. Well, with Lodes, he knew it was dangerous, and he said, come to me in secret. Mm-hmm. Right?
Here there's no warning.
Here there's, right. So
But it's obvious that he knows what they're going to do because he says to them, don't do it, don't do this.
Right. Well, let's see. Let's see. We haven't even seen this whole section yet.
Okay, let's go.
So the man goes out to them and he says, don't do this. And instead, he makes them an offer. Pasuk Chav Dalet. Hine viti habisula ufilak shehu. Here instead are my daughter.
The old man went out?
The old man went out, yes. The old man went out, yes. And he offers his young daughter, ufilak shehu, and the man's pilagesh. Otsia na osam, ve'anu osam. He says,
or someone else.
In those days, women were everything.
You have to keep in mind what you're reading. This story is meant to illustrate, and that's exactly what it does illustrate, just how bad things get. Ein melech b'Yisrael, ish ha'yashar b'einav yahaseh. There's nothing that should happen in this story that you should take as a model for anything. So he says, I'll take them out to you. Ve'anu osam, and he offers them. He says, "Rape them." Va'asu lahem hatov bi'einechem. Do to them what is good in your eyes. Ve'la'ish hazel lo sa'asu devar hanavala hazos. And don't do this to this man. This is.
Well, what does he think?
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. Now you understand why I've been saying that for weeks.
It gets worse.
Yes.
What is he expecting them to do to the man?
To rape him.
That
may come along with
the
it.
Women and not the men.
Just deal things.
So that's the question. What is his morality? Is the question. What is this?
I mean, they're a disgusting thing. It's like not a big deal. So if it's not a big deal, why is it a big deal for him as well?
Maybe he likes the man for himself.
Velo avu ha'anashim lishmoa lo. The men did not listen to him. So the man, and now we're back on the husband of the concubine, he took his own pilagesh and sent her outside.
The men who are outside
are not listening, meaning they're not satisfied with this offer.
Okay.
So the guy, the quasi-husband of the concubine, grabs her and brings her outside. And at that point, it appears that it succeeds in satisfying the mob. Vayidu osa vayisalalu bakol halayla ad haboker.
Oh, God. He's a weak man.
Vayishalachua ba'alos hashachar. And in the morning, ka'alos hashachar, at about morning, they send her away. Vatavo ha'isha lifnos haboker. She makes it back to the house before dawn. Vatipol pesach beis ha'ish asher adoneh hasham ad ha'or.
Wait, she makes it to which house?
To the house that she
is. The old man.
Where did they take her?
They took her wherever they took her to do what they were doing.
And then she
went to the house and she collapsed at the door and she is collapsed on the ground until light. That's what happens to her. So.
And it sounds like, I'm sorry, so the guy just goes back to sleep. He says, here's my concubine.
Yeah.
He goes back to sleep, and the girl opens the door, and no one sees that she came back.
But what about the virgin daughter?
She got out of this.
She's still a virgin.
Yeah. Did you notice the change in the name? And what he's called now? Adoneha.
Oh.
He didn't treat her as a wife, right? It's highlighting the fact that he's now treat her Isha. Now he's not her man. Now he is her owner because of the way that he treats her. So that's your story. It's not done, but that's your story right now. And now you start to see the idea of the contrast, right? The father-in-law is very welcoming. Stay. The old man, as corrupt as he turns out to be with this offer, said, come in, I'll take care of you, don't spend your own stuff, use mine. And then you have these people from the city. Now,
do you think it was a ruse?
No. No, I don't think it. I don't see how that would benefit him in any way. If you take a look...
Well, he's an outsider, so his stature that, hey, I got them to come, and you got your way with them, like...
And his daughter?
His daughter, yeah. No, true.
Well,
but maybe
that doesn't fit. And she didn't go because the men said that's not what we want.
Right. Kind of a misplaced, like, I think he's not a bad person. He just has misplaced, you know, like a Lot.
I mean, right. So it's worth taking a minute to talk about Lot, actually, because I think that is instructive. Lot, right, remember the story in Sodom, offers two daughters to the people there. That's not a good thing to do. Lot is taken as a model for the person who doesn't understand what he is seeing. Meaning, Lot is raised by Abraham, right? He's there in Abraham and Sarah's house. He sees hospitality, and he absorbs, hospitality is really important. Take care of everybody else, even ahead of your own needs. Take care of everybody else. And he absorbs that. But he doesn't understand at all a sense of proportion, a sense of why this is valuable, the values that drive it. And so it's logical to him to say, well, I have to protect the visitors who came to my house. Let me offer my daughters in order to safeguard the people who are coming in from outside. You know, I once pointed this out and somebody said, suggested another idea, but the word lot has a meaning. The word lot is an Aramaic word. It means curse. That's what it means. Klalot in Hebrew are translated in onkelos as levataya, lamed vav tet yud aleph. There is, someone pointed out to me, another possible meaning. Lot can be in secret. Balot is something that's in secret, hidden. But I think this is exactly what it sounds like.
He was saving his own skin because he was afraid if he doesn't do anything, they'll just...
Not in Lot's case.
Break down the door and just kill everybody.
Lot was safe.
And maybe because he knew that they were angels, he had to protect them.
Just the opposite. They're angels, they don't need protection. Lot is safe. At that point, it's only the guests who are in danger. It's not to save himself. In contrast with this story... in which they are in danger, and they're sacrificing the Pelegesh, and the attempt is to sacrifice the daughter, in order to save their lives.
He's safe, but he's not, that
wasn't who they wanted. They wanted this visitor. Now, Abarbanel notes something interesting in Pasuk Chav Bet, sentence 22, look at the description again of this group. It says, Anshei Ha'ir, Anshei Vinei Vilial. The people of the city, people of no value, right? Evil people. But why say the people of the city, the people who are evil? Why the double reference? So take a look on your sheet.
Maybe it's a general
at source number 8. Take a look at number 8. Anshei Ha'ir, Anshei Vilial. Rotzalomar anashim yiduim mehair shehem bnei Belial. It means people who were known in the city, right? People who were from the city who were known shehem bnei Belial. They were known to be people who were no good. Umileida from birth umeivehem or evehem, and from their source lamdu tchunot rav. They learned bad traits. In other words, it's not the whole city.
This is just some of these bad elements.
Correct. Yes, it's again precisely.
Makes me feel better than not everyone would.
Well, we're going to see more of that in Malbim. We're not going to get to it today, but I think we'll see. But first, I wanted to show you the stone language. Take a look at number 9. Look at this.
Wow.
The Nasabu es Habayis, right? And with Lot, it's Nasabu. I wrote an S. That was a mistake. It's a typo. It should be Al. The Nasabu Al Habayit. The same idea. They surrounded the house. Yes, they're both chapter 19, but keep on. We didn't do chapters.
I know.
That's not ours.
So easy to remember them.
Misdabkim Al Hadelet, knocking on the door. In Lot's story, Lishbor Hadelet. They came forth to break down the door. Hotzeyes Ha'ish. Take the man out. Vinei Da'enu, and we will know him. There, Hotzi'ei Meleinu, take them out to us, v'neid osam, and we will know them. Same pitch. And when the old man says, Al Achai Al Tareyuna, no, my brothers, please don't commit evil, that's what Lot said. Al Na'achai Tareyu, my brothers, don't do something bad. The offer that's made in Pasuk Chav Dalet, the offer of the two women, right, and in Sodom was also the offer of two women.
Wasn't enough. I'm just curious why they each had to offer two.
Well, one possibility. I mean, it's the old man who offered both.
Right.
maybe because it's a mob, and so he thinks that's the way they'll be satisfied.
Offer also?
Right, Lod also offered. Yeah.
Right. Why not just say take one of my daughters or take the Pilegesh? Like, why did he also offer his?
And I think the answer is because he's just trying to satisfy the mob. He's trying to satisfy the mob. And then finally, Vasu lahem katov b'einechem. Right. That's what the old man says. Right, do to them as is good in your eyes. That's exactly what Lot said. Vasula and Katov Benefem, do to them as is good in your eyes.
So is this plagiarism or is this?
No, it's a message. It's very clearly a message. The Jewish people at this point have descended to become like Sodom, which is a reference we will find later in Tanakh when Yeshaya will do that. Yeshaya is going to say, we were like Sodom.
So this is written similar to the language of...
If it happens at all. Yeah, sorry.
This is written in the same language as the Lot story, but the Lot story was already written by then.
Oh, yeah. Lot story is in Chumash. They all have it. Yes, they all have this, and they all have the Lot story in front of them.
So it's almost making a point, because it's so similar, following the same language, how bad things were. It's not missing words.
And not only that, but keep in mind, we were brought into the land to eliminate the Sodom conduct. And now, because we've become like them, so it's us. We should be the ones who are kicked out of the land.
Okay.
But they're not going to destroy those people. Like, they're not going to destroy
Well, that's the thing. The difference between the Sodom story and this one, and we have to see Malbim next week, but the difference right now between the Sodom story and this one is only that here there are no malachim to save the day. Right? There are no malachim here to save the day. And Lot's story, Lot offers his daughters, and the malachim say, come back in the house, okay? You're not offering anybody. And the malachim then destroy the city and save Lot and the family. Here, there are no malachim. The Pilegesh is turned over to the villains. And that's the way your story goes.
But the city isn't destroyed.
And the city is not destroyed. I mean, the city will be destroyed, not via malachim.
So when Shmuel writes this, he already knew this.
Oh, yeah, no. That's the point. He's trying to show you something. He's trying to describe what's happened. We still have to see the Malbim and Ramban also, really, who talk about the comparison to Sodom and modify things a little bit. But Debbie read the next couple of sukkim. She already sees where things are going. But now you understand what I mean when I say to you, we have two stories at the end of this book that are meant to demonstrate just how bad things get. You have the Pesel Micha story, which has a sense of humor, and it's ironic. And then you have this, where there's just nothing redeeming whatsoever. They've hit rock bottom. And that's it. So
is there a war story still?
There's a part of the story. There's another shoe that has not yet dropped. I'll put it that way. But this is just for revolting.
The season finale has
okay.
Come on, yeah, remember in Toronto.
Okay, so enough with that, and I think we'll pick up with that, God willing, next week.